We're carrying on a series. We're in week two of 3 weeks in a series that we've called Good Soil. And we're talking about good soil because Jesus talked about soil and weeds and plants and gardening fairly regularly in the Bible. And particularly last week, we talked about the idea that dirt doesn't actually have a whole lot of value on its own. You know, no one usually gets dirt and says, "There, this is the completed product. This is all that I needed. You know, here's my yard of dirt, and it's all done." We usually think of what's inside of the dirt. We're thinking about the bulb that's going to come out later, the grass seed that's been planted and is going to grow. Or we talked last week about the treasure that was found in a field, and that it didn't matter if the dirt was terrible or the field was ugly or whatever was going on in that field. It didn't matter. That field was worth giving your whole life to, your whole life savings to, because of what was in it. And then at the very beginning of the Bible, we looked at the moment, the Genesis story of how humans started and saw God forming dirt, and he breathed life into it. And when life was breathed into it, it became his favorite creation, us. It became us. The image of God had shown up, and it was in us. And so we, in the context of this whole Good Soil series, we want to remember that even bad soil, or even whatever soil, soil that doesn't matter, soil that's not great for anything, if God's breath is in it, if God's life is in it, if he blows into it, it becomes the image of God. God makes soil good. So it's not us, first of all, who makes soil good. God makes soil good. But this week we're going to talk about how we can play a part in that and what it would start to look like for us. Soil, by the way, is you and me. Soil is our hearts and how we ready ourselves and how we prepare ourselves. Last week, I started talking about this grass that I started trying to work on in my backyard. And I shared a story about how I raked all the moss out of my grass, and there were all these dead spots. And I just sort of threw grass seed on them and hoped for the best, and nothing happened at all. Diddly squat. And so there was this stump that we had just ground, and this big mound of dirt, and then valley of dirt, and wood chips, and shavings, and roots, and all sorts of stuff over in this other section in our yard. And last week I talked about how I bought some dirt, put it in there, and put some seed in there to see what would happen. But I've skipped out on a whole lot of the work that I did, because I put a ton of work into trying to make that whole section smooth and flat and nice and good. I mean, we had ground, I don't know if anyone here has ground a stump before, but that's what we did, ground up this stump, and there's like wood shavings everywhere, and it's mixed in with the dirt. So I'd come home every day and I'd be like picking through the wood shavings and putting them into my wheelbarrow and wheeling them away. And then every day, day after day, I'd be digging up the wood shavings, wheeling them over there, dumping them out. Next day, come back and do the same. It felt like it went on forever. And then you're getting lower down and now it's even more mixed and you can't tell what's wood shavings and what's dirt. And so then I start pulling the dirt across, tamping it down, trying to level it out, pulling it across, shoveling more over here, adding more dirt from the store. Like, I put a ton of work into trying to get this grass to grow, because it didn't grow over there, so I wanted it to grow here, and so I wanted it to be perfect dirt if I was going to have the grass grow. So I did all of that work, and I laid the grass in. Last week, I shared about that a little bit, and all of this week, people have been saying to me, "So, did the grass grow or what?" If I bump into people at Costco, "Did the grass grow or no?" Like, I'm driving down the street, "Hey, did the grass grow? You didn't finish the story." And I just keep saying, "You got to come back Sunday. You know, you're going to have to find out on Sunday. I'll tell you then. We'll see what happens." And so I had put all the grass. The reality is, and I will tell you in a second, reality is, the grass had as much potential to grow as the dirt that it landed in. The grass didn't change when this one seed of grass has the same chance of becoming a grass as any other seed. It just has to be put in the right conditions. It has to be put in the right environment. It has to land in the right spot. The seed in just on my patch of dirt that I didn't dig up, that I didn't scoop up, that I didn't pour time into and mix it all around and level it out and do all that, it did nothing. But the same seed over here in the dirt that I really worked hard at, I tried, I watered, I did all of that, it grew. Amen. We can have an amen on that. So there was this day, I every day I'd go out, like I said last week, and I'd be watering it and looking and trying, and my kids would get excited with me. Dad, any grass yet? I'm like, don't think so. Wait, what's that? Pine needle. No. We're like, okay, yeah, don't worry about it. And wait, what's that? And we go look over. Oh, no, that's the old grass. Oh, wait, what's that? Hardy, that's a green ball. What are you talking about? Get out of here. Anyway, like, what's that? We kept looking over and over trying to figure it out. What is it going to happen or not? And then one day I was like, oh, kids, come out here. I call them down. Get over here. Look. Guys, we have grass over there. I had gotten pretty good at staring at dirt. So I knew that wasn't dirt right there. And so I went over. I'm like, kids, do you see this? Look at that. It's so great. The grass has come. They're like, that's not grass. Nothing's grown yet. Like it was honestly, it hardly looked like anything. I'm like, get down lower and look at that grass. This has been hard work. You need to celebrate this. I'm like, you just touch that. It was just like this tiny bit. It wasn't even green yet. It looked like the top of my head so far at this point. And I'm happy to tell you that it's thickened more than that since. So they're like down touching. I'm like, it's grass, guys. I know it's not great yet, but it's grass. It's coming. Isn't that awesome? Well, now we've got grass at our house. In fact, yesterday I mowed it, which later on I found out I probably shouldn't have done just yet. But anyways, told you I'm new to this gardening thing. Let's ease up on the judgment here, folks. So I mowed the grass and it's looking good. You don't have to worry about it. It's looking like, at least it's looking average. But anyways, the reality was that the grass, same seed does different things in different soils. Same potential accomplishes different things in different soils. In different environments, it accomplishes different things. Our heart's the same. Every week you come to church and you know, I'm throwing out or someone's throwing out or in our lives we're all throwing out seeds, right? Seeds of the gospel, seeds about Jesus, seeds about his kingdom. And we're throwing those things out and they're the same seed to you and the same seed to me. God doesn't say, okay, this seed's kind of rotten, we'll throw it at that person and then this one's kind of like, oh, we'll throw that there and that there and that. He's throwing out seed. Like you can't strategize this. You're just throwing the seed out. It's just going out. It's all the same seed, it's good seed, it has potential to accomplish great things, but where it lands will determine how it grows. And so when we think about this, we got to be considering where our heart's at. When we show up at church, what have we done to prepare the soil? What have we done to get our hearts ready? What have we done to allow the gospel to grow within us, to allow the kingdom of God to expand within us? What have we done to allow the seeds that he wants to plant in us to grow? How have we done our part in the process? We learned last week that even bad soil, God can do good things through it. God can put his life into bad soil. But I'm really believing that the greatest potential of the gospel, the greatest potential of the kingdom of God here on this planet is going to be when we prepare our hearts, when we prepare the soil for which the seeds are going to land in. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 13. We're going to start at Matthew 13, 1 to 9. Matthew, one of the followers of Jesus, who then writes a book and tells us about some of the things that Jesus said. So that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. And then he says, I think this summarizes the whole thing. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Jesus he tells this story, and he's going to explain it in a second, and I'm going to explain it in a second of how Jesus said it. But he tells this story that sort of, it compares dirt is all it's doing. It compares environments for which grass seed is going to, or whatever seed is going to be thrown out is going to grow. Gospel seed is going to be thrown out. It's just looking at which soil is best, which environment is best. And then at the end he says, but he who has ears, let him hear. The reality is that even just because we have ears doesn't mean we hear what we're supposed to hear. Just because we have eyes doesn't mean that we see what we're supposed to see. And just because we go to church doesn't mean we get what we're supposed to get. Just because we read the Bible doesn't mean we understand what we're supposed to understand. Just because we pray doesn't mean we've actually done anything in our hearts that we're supposed to have done in our hearts. Jesus here is saying, you have ears, but just having them doesn't mean you're a good listener or that you can hear. You have to teach your ears. You have to work on your ears so that they can hear. Just because you have eyes doesn't mean you can see everything. My kids all were born with eyes, but they would look cross-eyed up at me and like sort of like couldn't figure out what they were looking at. They had to learn how to focus and learn how to see what they were looking at, then perceiving what they were looking at. It took years. You have to teach your eyes to see. You have to train your eyes to see. Just because we have soil doesn't mean it's good. Just because we've heard the gospel doesn't mean it's growing. Just because we have Jesus in our heart doesn't mean we're seeing his greatest work through us. But we have to work at it. We've got to till the soil. We've got to prepare the soil. We've got to let God stir something up within us. I think that's partly why we do worship on a Sunday morning. Sometimes we come to, I don't know about you, sometimes you come to Sunday morning, don't have too much expectation. You just come and this will be fine, it'll be good. See what happens, you know, we'll listen to some music, and pastor is gonna carry on for a little bit, and once I get through it, I'll check off that box, and that's good. But then the music comes on, you know? All of a sudden you're like, oh, I love you, Jesus. Like, this is the best. I'm so in love. This is awesome. I can't wait. And then when I come up and speak, the soil has been tilled a little bit so that you can actually listen to what I say. That worship actually softens our heart. And there's this softening that needs to take place in our lives. There's a softening that needs to go on in our hearts. There's a readiness that needs to start to exist in our hearts if we want the gospel to set in. That when the seeds are thrown, if we want growth to come, if we want the tree of faith that we're meant to have. So Jesus goes on and explains this thing to his disciples. In Matthew 13, 18 to 23, it says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. So he says, this is the seed sown along the path. The seed sown along the path is someone who hears the message about Jesus, who hears the message of the gospel, who hears what was spoken about, but just doesn't understand it, just doesn't get it. You know, I've been told on a number of occasions that how I preach is just a little bit too shallow. You know, there's not enough depth to it. It's kind of fluffy, people have said about my preaching. Sometimes I say to that one, well, that's a good place, that's a comfy place to land then. You know, it's too fluffy. That sounds nice. But often people say it's too shallow, it's not deep enough, you're not digging deep enough, and things like that, as if the purpose of that, of coming here was to get deep and sort of intellectually grab our hearts. The purpose of coming here is that we would all be inspired, and I hope that everyone, from someone who's been a Christian 50, 60, 70, 80, 92 years, or someone who has never stepped into a church, would all be inspired by the same message of Jesus Christ. It's my heart that everyone who comes in will find something. And so if I speak too fluffy for someone and say, I just want to be fed, then you should go to a church of all Christians. Because if you want to be just with Christians where we talk Christian things and break down Christian stuff and develop our Christian thinking and that's it, then this isn't the place for us. But here we exist so that we can draw people in to what Jesus is doing so that people would know the goodness and the fullness of the life that he gives. And we're all a part of that process, including the preacher who delivers fluffy messages so that understanding can happen in the least taught person in the room. Least taught. So one of our goals is that people would understand. If someone's here today and says, I don't understand Jesus, I don't understand the gospel, I don't understand the Bible, one of the things I just encourage you, stick around a few weeks. Stick around a little longer. Get to know some of the Christians in the room. Get to know some of the people who are here. Ask them questions. Join a small group. Jump into Common College when it starts up again. Learn a little bit about what it looks like. If you don't understand, what Jesus is saying is sometimes if you don't understand, that has actually hardened your heart. That I want to do a work, but it's going to take you understanding. It's going to take you working up some understanding for that. And sometimes it just means committing to it. Giving a little bit of time to it. Making a little bit of effort with it. I think there's other ways that people come into church with a hardened heart. Or have just a hardened heart for the gospel can't penetrate. Sometimes it's a bitterness in your heart. Resentment. I see this one more and more. If people hold things against someone. I'm going to keep that there and I'm going to hold that against you. And it starts to harden your heart. Your heart gets calloused. It gets hardened. No, I'll be nice to everyone but you. You know, I'll be friendly with everyone but you. I can't do that. We've got unforgiveness in our heart. And all of a sudden, we're stuck in a place where nothing can get into our heart because we've hardened it. Sometimes it's guilt. People say, well, I'm a good person, sort of, and I show up to church and I do my thing, but I can't let people know about what's actually going on because they wouldn't accept me and they wouldn't. And so we don't actually have a soft heart that's raw and available and open and soft. And so the seed gets thrown out and it bounces off our hard heart. It bounces off the path. It just rolls along and then birds come and get it. The enemy of the soul, Jesus says, the enemy of your soul comes and grabs those seeds and says, good, those were going to change your life, but your heart wasn't open. Those were going to change many people's lives, but your heart wasn't open. I'll get those out of here before your heart opens up. Because we got bitterness there maybe. Or we just sit in our doubt sometimes. Or we're cynical, we show up, and we're ready for the pastor to say something wrong. Just can't wait for the pastor to say something wrong. When he says something wrong, then I'm going to be the one who tells him he said it wrong, and it's going to be awesome. It's so life-giving. You know? Everyone's going to feel so uplifted because I'll tell everyone the pastor said something wrong about the Bible. It's only hurting you. That's hardens your heart and keeps the gospel from planting inside of you. And growing. So Jesus says, that's the first one. Hard hearts is the first challenge. So the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. He says the second seed is this one. The seed bounces over there and there's some rocks and a little bit of soil and it gets into that place and it springs up, but then it can't sustain it because it has no root and it dies. I've seen this a lot in my Christian life. I've seen a lot of people who sort of like, maybe it's their first time when they decide they want to follow Jesus and they're like, yes, we're going to change the world. My son was wearing a shirt that says mini world changer this morning. Like, we're going to change the world. This is going to be the best. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do that. And I'm going to go across the world. I'm going to go to Africa and I'm going to build 17,000 orphanages. And I'm going to do all of these things. I'm going to walk on water. In fact, I think I'll walk across the whole Pacific. And then it's going to be so incredible. It's going to be great. And then Monday hits. Or the next day hits. Someone says, really? I don't know if that's really going to happen. Or you pray for something and it doesn't happen the way you thought it should. Or you try to start something and no one wants to give to it. And you're trying to build this great thing for the kingdom and you can't get anyone on board. And you start to, instead of this great joy and great expectation, you start to become cynical. Why isn't anyone jumping on like I am? Why isn't anyone chasing after it like I am? Don't they know what we're supposed to be a part of? Why aren't we going after it? And you sprout up, and then you die out. Maybe that's a weekly occurrence for some. Or show up on Sunday morning. I'm having a hard week. I just need Sunday worship. speaking, prayer, conversation, good coffee, all of these things. Hey, awesome, we leave here. I'm ready to take on the world. This is going to be good. I feel inspired for Jesus. I can't wait. Monday rolls around and you still have a job. Like, oh, I still have to go to work. My marriage is still challenging. My kids are still rebellious. My high school is still awkward to have a faith in my high school. I still have the same kids who don't like me. I still have the same grades that I had before Sunday. I still have the same test coming up. This is a tough week. Sunday rolls around again. Yay, I'm excited. And Monday can't be sustained. What do you have planned in your week, I wonder, that would sustain that? The rocky ground Christian that has these spikes and these falls, we need to figure out how we can gain some perseverance in our faith. What does it look like to plan your Bible reading through the week? What does it look like to plan your prayer times through the week? What does it look like to pray continuously and without ceasing? What does it look like to have conversations where you confess where you've messed up with someone regularly and then pray with each other? What does it look like to be part of a small group and step into that and speak with people and spend time with people and grow in relationships that are not just false relationships, but are honest and real relationships where you can be yourself? What's it look like to develop something midweek that sustains you? So Jesus says the first one is the hard ground. The second one is this, is that it sprouts up and then dies. And then the last one he talks about, he says the seed falling on the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. I was looking at this scripture this week, and as I was spending some time with it, I always thought that all the seeds just die. You know, you throw it on the path, bird eats it, it's dead. You throw it in the rocks, and it grows up fast and doesn't have root base, and the sun scorches it, and it dies. So I always pictured this one just being choked out by weeds and dying. It doesn't say that. It says it was choked out by weeds and became unfruitful. I think this one hits a lot of Christians. A lot of people have had a faith that has grown over the years. And look how big my faith has become. Look how much I've done. Look how much I pray and how much I feel like I'm growing. I'm reading the Bible more. I'm praying more. I'm spending more time with people. And you've done all of the right things and your faith has grown up and yet nothing is happening around you. It says it's unfruitful. The very purpose that you were supposed to grow for doesn't exist. The thing that you were supposed to accomplish doesn't exist. I have all these hydrangea plants in my backyard, and I didn't know how to prune hydrangeas. I'm learning a lot this year. And I tried to, so I just sort of let them do their thing, and I just saw some hydrangeas in someone's yard, and they're like these big full blooms of beautiful flowers, and mine are just green leaves. That's it. I just have green leaves. And like green leaves, beautiful. A bush, beautiful. But a hydrangea is not just supposed to be a bush of green leaves. It's supposed to be these beautiful, vibrant flowers. And this is what the Christian life is like. Look at me. I'm growing big. I'm growing more. I'm growing strong. But I'm accomplishing nothing. And no lives are being changed around me. No one is being impacted around me. I'm unfruitful. Nothing is happening. I haven't been able to share about Jesus in a long time. I haven't been able to welcome anyone, bring anyone to church with me in a long time, or start the process, or start the journey with anyone in a long time. I don't know how to do it, but I just feel like I'm doing all that I can. I'm growing all that I can. I'm doing all the right things. And it's just up to God to make me fruitful, I guess. I think sometimes that's true. In fact, I think it's always God who produces fruit. But the reality is that it has to do with the condition of the soil that tree is in, that tree of faith is in. See, Jesus says, yes, we've got this tree, and no, it didn't die from the weeds, but it won't produce fruit as long as the weeds are there. Some of us, our faith has grown, but our desire for money has grown as much. Our faith has grown, but our desire for security has grown as much. Our faith has grown, but our sin level has grown as much. In fact, for some of us, we grow our faith because we can't get away from a sin. We say, oh, I'm so embarrassed. Like I've got such a bad, you know, whatever it is, sexual addiction, and it's just not good for me. So I better just read more of the Bible, or I better just pray more. I'll just show up to church more, and that'll be good. And then that thing grows, but your sin is growing, and then they just keep growing. And yeah, you've got a mountain of faith in front of you, but it's never going to produce any fruit because you've allowed the weeds to grow as high. It's at that point, it's not about you trying to produce fruit. You can't. It's about you clearing out the weeds. See, the dirt never becomes the tree. You're going to be dirt for your whole Christian life. Amen. Who's going to be dirt? We're dirt. Let's just be okay with that. We're dirt, because within the dirt, the gospel grows. Sometimes we are dirt and the seed plant is planted and it starts growing and we're like, this is great. Yay, that's awesome. And now I have to bear fruit. A tree, dirt doesn't call up to the tree and say, hey, I'm going to bear fruit for you now. Dirt doesn't do that. Dirt just makes sure it's as nutritious as possible. It's as life-giving as possible so that the tree can do what the tree needs to do. The gospel is going to produce fruit in your life. Jesus is going to produce fruit in your life. Jesus is going to accomplish things. He's going to bring people to him through you, but not because you produce fruit, but because you picked the weeds and you were just healthy dirt, good soil. That's all you were. That's all you need to be. I'm in a neighborhood now. When Kendall and I moved to town, we lived on 100 acres, and we didn't have many neighbors on 100 acres, except some horses and ugly cats. And so in this neighborhood, they were ugly. Anyways, in this neighborhood, we didn't have to think about, you know, how are we reaching our neighbors and caring for our neighbors, but now we've moved into a neighborhood. And now we live with close to other people. There's lots of people that we now know right next to us. And I'm often thinking like, God, what's it going to look like? What do I have to do to sort of share the gospel? What do I have to do to sort of plant the seeds? Do I have to, you know, do I go for the bold, hard sell, knock on their door and say, listen, you need to know about Jesus? Or am I going to like bake a pie and walk slowly and be careful? Am I going to wait and just stand back and just let it happen for me? Or should I just wear my best Jesus t-shirt and walk down the road a few times? Like, what's it going to look like? What do I need to do, God? How is it going to happen? And this is me trying to bear fruit. I can't. I can't bear fruit. I need to be the soil. I need to just let the gospel rise up in me. I need to let the kingdom of God become greater in me. How? Not by just going and doing it, but by being good soil, by spending time with the Lord, by letting him lead me, by letting him speak to me so I can actually hear his voice, by joining with others, by picking out the weeds. Some of us say, I've been trying to read my Bible and trying to pray and trying to do all these things. It's been really good, but I'm so busy at work that I don't have time for much more than that. I wonder if at some point we need to look at this and say, okay, my busyness at work, is that okay or not? Is it okay that I'm that way? Maybe it is for you, but maybe it's not. Maybe you said, I will read the Bible and pray so that I can go to work this much and feel okay about it. Maybe it's time to pluck that thing right out of there and say, God, show me a balance in my life. Show me what it is to have time with you. Show me what it is to be in a deep relationship with you. Worship team, you can come up. Said, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, this excites me, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Same seed. Jesus doesn't have different kinds of seeds. He doesn't have ugly ones. He doesn't have unfruitful ones. He doesn't have some that are just going to not make too much of an impact. All of the seeds that will land on good soil are going to produce 160 or 30 times what was sown. That means if one message is spoken into you, lands in good soil, it will produce 100, 60, 30 messages being spoken out to others. That it will produce in you, it will move you forward, it will cause an impact around you, that it will cause the gospel, it will cause faith, it will cause the kingdom of God to grow up in you to such a place that it creates fruit, and that fruit is tasty to other people, that fruit is nice to other people, that fruit is alluring to other people, that they want what you have, they want what's going on in your life, not because you've worked hard at growing a tree and you say, well, just come and read the Bible with me or come and do this, but because you've worked the soil of your heart and said, God, I can't do the gospel, but I sure can receive it. I can't accomplish kingdom work, but I sure can let it be accomplished through me. Sometimes we try to do all the kingdom work and we leave our hearts out of it. Jesus says, stop. This looks like a field of weeds with a huge faith in the middle and huge work in the middle, a huge desire for money in the middle, maybe huge pride. Sometimes that's the weed that comes up with us. Say, look at my faith. I better be recognized for this. I better be recognized for how faithful I am to God and how much I believe and how strong I am and how encouraging I am. Someone needs to tell me how much of a mountain of faith I am. That's a weed. You won't produce any fruit as long as that's your heart. When your heart is good soil with one tree, that's the gospel. The message of Jesus rising up in you. It'll put everything else in alignment. You don't have to figure out how to produce the fruit. You just make the soil good. You just soften it up. You keep spending time on it. You keep raking away the weeds. Keep pulling out the things that are trying to sprout up. You keep using your garden claw and cranking away at the hard, patchy spots so that air can get at it. Jesus wants that. So who are you today? It's a moment for you to sort of take a little bit of an inventory for yourself. You find that you show up to church and it's going to take just a rocket of a seed to smoke through your hard shell in the heart. You find that you walk in and people are throwing encouraging words and they just bounce off you, and someone mentions the name of Jesus and they just bounce away, and you can't, there's nothing there that you can hold on to. It's just, you're just calloused. Or maybe you say, I just don't understand any of it, and you feel like it's all in one ear, out the other, and just the same as if seeds were coming at you and you just have nowhere to land. You just can't take hold of any of it. If so, today, maybe the day today is just about praying, God, would you just give me a commitment in my heart to follow through with being here long enough until that heart is softened, until the soil is tilled, until that gospel does take root? Because I want it. I want what I've seen in someone else. Or maybe today is the day where you say, I have to forgive someone. I have to let forgiveness into my heart. Or maybe today you say, I'm the rocky guy. I'm the seed that landed in those rocks. I get excited every Sunday. I'm passionate. I've got these high moments. I've got these passionate ideas and these dreams that sprout up in me. But as soon as someone says, that's a bad dream, or as soon as I realize that it's not happening, it just sucks the life out of me, and I can't seem to maintain this momentum. I can't seem to carry on in this journey. I made a big decision once, but I couldn't follow through. And then again, and I couldn't follow through. And then again, and I couldn't follow through. Maybe today, in this time of prayer, maybe the moment here is just for you to plan with God. When will I give you time each week so that I can carry the momentum? So that I give you a chance to carry the momentum for me? When will I read my Bible? When will I pray? Who am I going to talk to and be honest with? Who am I going to share what's going on in my journey? Who am I going to pray with? What are the things in my week that are stealing my joy, that don't have to be in my week anymore. Or the last one, maybe feel like you're one of these faith-filled Christians. You've grown a lot, but now sitting in here, you kind of recognize that there's some weeds that have grown along with your faith. You look around and you see there's that weed of money that's trying to snuff me out. It's keeping me unfruitful. That of security that I can't let go of, that I just want to feel safe and good and make sure I have enough. Maybe it's of that unforgiveness that's grown so big in your heart that you can't let go of it. You've got something that you need to do, maybe even today, where you need to go apologize to someone or forgive them in your heart and let go of what you're holding on to. Or maybe you're the last one. You're the good soil. And that's good news for us. Because next week, you'll probably be sitting with 100, 60, or 30 friends here in this church. Reality is probably all of us have something that we need to work on, something we need to grab at, something we need to identify with, something that needs to change in our heart so that we might be good soil, so that when the seeds are thrown and planted, they will take root, they will grow, and they will produce fruit. And then lives will be changed. And this place will not be big enough to hold them all. Because 100 or 60 or 30 times this room is a lot of people. And we want them all. Jesus wants them all. He wants to be in relationship with all of them. He made them all. He cares about them all. He believes for them all. And as we become good soil, we can't help but produce good fruit that feeds them and provides the message of Jesus to other people. So these guys are going to sing or just play a little bit behind us. You decide, are you the path? Are you kind of rocky? Are you the thorny field today? And then what do you need to do about that? What do you need to do about that in this moment? Take 2 minutes, think about that yourself, and I'll be right back up. Just a little further down in Matthew 13, Jesus quotes Isaiah. And Isaiah is this book all about God's judgment and grace. And here's what Jesus says, what Isaiah said: "You will be ever seeing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's hearts has become calloused." In other words, when our hearts become hard, we see, but we can't perceive. We hear, but we can't listen. "They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." Today, if you're hearing something that's more than just you're hearing something with your ears, but it's doing something different to you. Today, if you're seeing something different than you're seeing, or if your heart is perceiving something different than you've perceived, the Bible says, turn and I will heal them, Jesus says. Turn and I will heal them. Maybe you haven't heard before, you haven't seen before, you haven't listened before, but today is your day. Turn and he will heal you. He wants to. He wants a relationship with you. He still cares about you. He loves you deeply and he wants to walk with you. I just want to pray for you. Jesus, today I pray that hearts would be impacted, that those who are hearing, that those who are seeing in new ways, those who are perceiving in ways they haven't perceived before, I pray that today would be the day where they discover Jesus Christ, they walk with him closely, they discover that you have indeed been throwing seeds out, you have been all along throwing them at them, casting them along their heart, giving them an opportunity to grow, and today, Lord, as they soften their heart to you, that they discover there's something that gets rooted inside them that is meant to grow. It's meant to grow steadily. It's meant to grow consistently. It's meant to bear fruit. It's meant to care for others and reach others around them. God, for those who haven't known it before today, would you just seal it in their hearts as they make a decision? Yes, I will turn and be healed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Today, if that was you, there's a connect card right in front of you somewhere close by. We'd love for you to fill that out and let us know what's going on in your heart today. We'd love, Pastor George will follow up with you and just would love to connect you into a small group and talk to you about what that means, or take you for a little Timmy's coffee, and or you might even stretch and go to Starbucks if that's your thing. But we'd love to connect you into the community here, and we want to grow together, not just grow tall, not just. And we also want deep roots, and we want no weeds. We want to continue to grow together and see 100, 60, or 30 times as many people here. And the Bible has promised that if we would have good soil, we'll see it. Let's believe for it. Have a good week of producing great soil. Love you. See you next week. Bring someone along. Why don't we stand up?